And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's talk hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Maui Jim Sunglasses, the choice of the best captains. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. And by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray and Rock Cod Rick Maxa.
Welcome back. Hour number two. Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. Pete Gray here with Rock Cod Rick Maxa. Captain Brandon Hayward from Bite Sport Fishing is here talking fishing. All kinds of good fishing. I'm pretty excited to go sea bass fishing.
No doubt. Got me pumped up.
Yeah. Ready to go.
You got it, man. Well, hey, we got a great show going for today. We're talking all kinds of great fishing, and we want to talk to you. If you want to be a part of this second hour of Let's Talk Hookup, we want to hear from you. There's two ways you can join us on the show this morning, and first is with our local line, which is 858 area code 457-1090. Again, 858-457-1090. That's a local number. Or toll-free. That toll-free line is 877-792-1090. Again, 877-792-1090. And speaking about being pumped up to go sea bass fishing, somebody's going to get an opportunity to go next weekend. There's two open party trips on Bite Sport Fishing, and the lucky winner at the end of the show today is going to get a chance to take their pick on the Friday trip or the Saturday trip. You're going Newport to Catalina to get to go put your time in to go catch one of those big tanker local sea bass with Captain Brandon Hayward. How cool is that?
How far is that run? It's pretty, I mean, Newport's really close to Catalina.
It's close, and what I like is it really opens up the west end of the island.
Oh.
So it's 27 miles, 28 miles to the east end, and the middle of the front, that type of stuff, and it's not much more to the west end, is pretty huge.
So you get a lot of opportunity to go fishing up on that western
side. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, front side west end can be a great sea bass zone.
Yeah, oh yeah.
It's not just a backside fish.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and good squid areas and stuff like that.
Yeah,
that
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So
you said that fish is not, you know, necessarily on the bait grounds. Is it the type of thing where you still do the standard Catalina, you go over and you make your bait and you take your bait elsewhere to go catch your fish, or are you not fishing them on squid at all, or does it just totally depend?
No, a good question. It's all on squid. I'm super lucky in that I have some good buds that run light boats and stuff like that, so squid is, I have a little bit of an advantage there. My buddy G. Paul has his permit on the Ultra right now, and Aaron, who usually runs the Native Sun, he does the scoop thing. So I'm always kind of trying to have bait lined up in some way or another, or even like, hey, let's meet here at this time type of a deal. Again, charter fishing different from your buds. With your buds, it's easy to go over there in the afternoon, fish for 2 hours, make bait, do all these things, fish the next day. But when you're on a 12-hour trip, people are paying good money to come out, and I try not to use up their time with the bait making thing. Yeah. And if you're leaving at a little bit before sunup and coming back after sunset, there's no real time to make bait. So bait's always a bit of a struggle and a hassle, and you always want to have bitchin' fresh dead, and that fish over there, especially shallow, eats that good frozen, no problem.
Right.
So yeah, so it's an endless bait hustle. Endless.
People talk about it all the time, and you being a sea bass guy, how important is it for that squid to be alive and swimming in your tank versus dead versus frozen? Is it all one and the same?
No, that's a great question. You know, to my mind, live squid, once you put it on the hook and it's on there for a while, it turns into fresh dead anyways, right? Especially when you're using that big hook and you thread it on a few times, it's not living for very long. So as long as it's really good fresh bait, that's why, you know, if I have the opportunity, I'm like bagging that stuff, keeping it super, super iced, and I go through my own little process of kind of freezing it and bagging it and making fresh dead, and it works just fine.
That's
but
smart.
You can't just scoop it all, put it in a 5-gallon bucket, that, you know, it, 2 o'clock in the morning, and then still using that same bait at 2 in the afternoon, it's going to spoil. So we take really good care of our squid, slowly defrost it, and do everything so that when that frozen comes out, it's still slimy, it's still got its color, and it works just fine.
That's rad.
Cool.
I think that big local fish likes a live or a very fresh dead bait much more than frozen. I'm not saying I haven't caught them on frozen, but it likes that live bait. It really likes that big live bait kind of pumping around, especially during the summer when they're up high. So island fish, more apt to fish the frozen than the local stuff.
Okay.
Good info.
Yeah, really good. All right, let's jump into the phones.
You
Rick.
Got it. Well, the phones are packed again. If you want to get your opportunity to get through, 877-792-1090. We're going to talk to John, who's calling us from West Hills this morning. Hey, John, welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, Brian, I had a question for you. You've obviously run a really successful charter business here, and like you said, and if you were willing to share, in a 12-hour trip, just a little behind the scenes of actually, I'm sure that it's not a 12-hour day for you, and just kind of maybe some brief points of possibly how long your day really is and what you do behind the scenes there for a trip.
That's a good question. Yeah. And I look at my job like any job. I want to make a certain amount of money per hour, right? And so you got to think about there's a lot of front-end and back-end stuff, sending people charter contracts. To my mind, it's kind of like 2 hours per trip on just the kind of communication end of things, sending directions, that type of stuff, you know, booking the deposits, all that type of stuff. And, you know, before any trip, my Parker doesn't live in Newport. It lives in Dana Point, and I run up. Newport's expensive and there's no slips at Davies, right? And I use that boat a lot with my family and my friends, and I'm a local resident. So you got to add an hour there. On the flip, on the business front, it makes sense for me because fuel is substantially cheaper in Newport. And by running up, you're also shaving a lot of direction and miles off going to the island. So it makes sense. It's a win, but it adds an extra hour. So if I got to, if I'm picking the guys up at 4:30 there, I'm leaving, you know, the night before or early that morning and, like, spending the night up there or, you know, getting a guest slip up there, whatever it takes. So I'd say if it's a 12-hour trip, it's really a 16, 18-hour day minimum. Yeah, and that big bluefin thing, you know, those are 18-hour days, man. Yeah. All in by the time you do everything. It's a lot of work.
A lot of effort. Especially last year when they all wanted to bite in the last hour of sunlight.
Right, all those trips, man, we left at 10 o'clock or noon or whatever. Yeah, you're really fishing for the last couple hours.
There again is what I love the program that you guys do at Bite. You know, we'd talk to Wes all the time, and, you know, the guys would show up at 9:30 or 10 o'clock or sometimes even later, and, you know, and he would just tell them, like, look, there's no point, you know, why stick to a traditional schedule and leave at 6 and have to leave when it's biting? Like, we're going to go when the fishing's right. And you just, it seems like no matter what, you always kind of tailor those trips to the way that it should be done.
Right. Same thing with sea bass right now. I'm on that kind of day program because it's winter and it's more of a daytime fish right now. But you know how it's been in year past? It's a straight nighttime fish. Or you get a sample in the afternoon, but after dark is when you really do your business. So in that regard, might leave at 2, might leave at 4. When the sun's up high and it's June, we used to leave at 6 p.m.
That's cool.
So, yeah,
really?
Yeah, I mean, always got to adjust.
You guys would rather be at home at, you know, at the end of a regular day. A day ends at 5 o'clock. Of course, you'd rather be home. But,
yeah, I mean, I look from afar and, like, you know, the 6 to 3 thing sounds great. And it's, you know, you're back at the dock drinking a beer with your buds at 3:45 talking about the day. But, like, I look around in the landscape and the people that are doing that, and they ain't catching nothing good. It's the truth.
Yeah.
Consistently, you know. So if you really want to do it, you want to cater to the local market, do that big game stuff. And if I had to take people, like, on half-day bass trips and stuff like that, that's just not me, right? I don't begrudge people that do, and I would love to pick up 20 of those charters a year because it's business, but that's not why I'm in this. You know what I mean? I'm in it, A, because it's a business, and I want to support my family, but B, but I really love fishing, and I love fishing for sea bass, and I want to do whatever it takes to catch those things.
Right.
Well, we appreciate you doing it.
Yeah, thank you.
For sure. Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. Good call, for sure. You want to get through, 877-792-1090 just opened up.
Brian and Delmar is up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Hi, Brian.
Hey, it's B-Rap. I grew up on it right next to the Poseidon restaurant near the Delmar Motel. In the 1960s, we had seashells on the beach, sand dollars. You could actually dig sand crabs and then catch corbina. My dad and I used to use blood worms also, and it turns out my dad, Paul Rapp, was in charge of production for Roger Corman, and they made movies about what was popular in youth culture. And so he actually used me in the beginning of the Wild Angels with Peter Fonda smoking a joint. I'm on my little trike coming out of the Venice canals, and then the movie starts, and my dad and I would go fishing, believe it or not, when we were at the Malibu Pier. There was a boat called the Lindbrook, and Skipper Wayne was this really cool guy that had blonde hair, and we would use anchovies as bait, and we always caught the best halibut or I would always catch sculpin or really radical calico bass or sugar bass. It was like total abundance. And then Dad ended up buying a boat in Marina Del Rey, and we ended up going over in 68 to Catalina, and we actually caught over 100 sand dabs at night.
Then we ended up,
my dad told me I could be a team rider for Waterways Surf Adventures, and my job for Sean Murphy was to make a movie about all the boat trips and the surf camps around the world, and we actually had lobster with Tony Hussein in the Maldives. He knew we loved seafood, so we actually surfed with Tony at Beacons on the outer atolls on a yacht charter with in 97. So that's my big secret spot for lobsters. If you want to call Sean Murphy at Waterways, is the king.
That was
so that whole story was all about the secret lobster hole.
Maldives.
Yeah. Cool, man. Well, thanks for sharing the story. Appreciate the call this morning. Wow.
That was a long paragraph with no periods or
no breaths. Yeah, that was really impressive.
That was extremely impressive. Yeah, I have not heard a story with, there was not a pause whatsoever.
The cool part is he could still go down to Del Mar, dig some sand crabs, and catch a Corvina.
Yeah, straight up,
think about his dad and hang out.
All about fishing.
Yep.
That's where you make memories.
Exactly.
That's rad. All right, let's jump right back into the phones. They're packed up. Cliff Lakewood, you're up next on Let's Talk Hookup. What's up, Cliff?
Good morning, guys. How are you guys doing this morning?
Good. Morning.
Hey, Brennan, I really love that bike journal. That's like a big, giant picture book. Beautiful pictures in there. Just enjoy that to the max. It's really nice.
Well, thank you.
I'm going through the old ones, too. It's great.
Well, they're pretty evergreen and timeless, so, the back issues still play. It's relevant all through and through.
A long time,
yeah,
really.
Exactly. I have never, I'm repeating myself, but I've never said someone say, I threw away my journals last week. They're taking up too much room, right? People definitely hold on to them.
They hold on to them, yeah.
Yeah.
Revisit it.
What's going on, Cliff?
Hi, I have a question about that. Do you ever fly line in a good current for white sea bass, or do a reverse dropper loop, or is it just all the stuff? And what's the most productive?
It depends on the time of the year, the water temperature, where they're at in the spawn, and kind of where you're fishing. And I'm going to fish both those things if, the fish are going along with those programs. And another thing I've said many times before, you can fish a dropper loop till you're blue in the face, but if everything's on the surface, you're not going to catch nothing, right? And conversely, you can fish the fly line, but if everything's on the bottom, you're never going to catch them. So if you're going into it kind of blind and you haven't been fishing, that's why it's important to kind of stagger and always try different things with all fishing, but especially with that fish, because they could be on the bottom, they could be midwater, they could be on the surface, it could be a total lay down and they're just kind of all over the place, which is fairly rare, but that happens in the spring, early summer. So I would say mix it up and try both. This time of the year, if I had to draw a default line, bottom.
Yeah.
Bottom.
Nice.
Yeah. Yep.
That's cool.
Okay, go get them. Hey, Cliff, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. Check out this week's edition of Western Outdoor News, always loaded with good information. This week, a great story about Big Mike. Mike Gardner.
Yeah, I saw
legend,
that.
Legend, you know.
Nice.
That guy
Fish Have No Hands.
Amazing guy. Fish Have No Hands. That's the name of his book, and that's how he teaches you. We got to fish several times with Big Mike, and very, very cool. Good one written by the legendary Rich Holland here.
Back at it.
Yeah, back at it. How about that, huh?
Neat.
And of course, all that O.C. Halibut, too. Lots of details. Check it out, this week's edition of Western Outdoor News.
Hey, with that, it's time to find out what's going on the water. It's time for our FishDope.com report by the man, your saltwater guide, Captain Dave Hansen. Today, the Catch Report, sponsored in part by Fisherman's Processing in San Diego. Fisherman's Processing is San Diego's finest, and that's why they're known as the Fish Pros, because once you try them, they're hooked. Not only will they fillet and vacuum pack your fish to your specs, and offer the very best in smoked fish, jerky, and their famous tuna burgers. You can also check out Fisherman's Processing on the web at fishermansprocessing.com for more details. You can see them when your trip returns to the San Diego landings. And now there's a very cool little twist to Fisherman's Processing.
Yeah, the Fish Pros. So what Sean's doing now is he's buying commercially caught yellowfin tuna and then processing it the Fisherman's Processing way.
Exactly.
And so what they're doing is they're doing their smoke, their hickory smoked tuna in all three flavors, the black pepper, the teriyaki, the spicy, and tuna jerky. And very soon they're going to have tuna burgers, too. And they're going to be able to sell these now either at the counter at Fisherman's Processing, and then they'll also be at that weekend market down in the Embarcadero in San Diego.
That's cool.
So Now, you, if you don't catch enough tuna, you don't get your fix of yellowfin tuna, and you want some Fisherman's Processing jerky or smoked or the famous tuna burger, you can actually purchase it right at their counter right now.
I got to talk to Sean about it, and, like, that's their big deal is they're, you know, he's sourcing, you know, individual, you know, fish that's taken care of the way that Fisherman's Processing would want it. And then it obviously gets the Fisherman's Processing treatment of just perfect. You know, you're not getting any – you're getting that same table-ready fish into the jerky and into the smoked fish, and it's just that super, super high-end product. So if you didn't go on your long-range trip this year but you still want to have all that great fish, you can go right to Fisherman's Fish Pros Market and pick it up right from the source.
From
the it's so cool. What a cool option.
Yeah, for sure. Good morning, Dave Hansen.
Hey, good morning, Brandon. Good morning, Pete. Good morning, Rick. How you guys doing today?
Great. Hey. Great show last Sunday. Got lots of feedback on that show. People love you.
Thank you very, very much, Pete. Yeah, so did I. Mike Lum called me when I got out in my car, and he told me to make sure I'm going to be at the Fred Hall show, both Del Mar and Long Beach. And then I got a call from Promar, and they want me to speak on their behalf for the lobster thing. So I'll be busy at the Fred Hall show, both of them, Long Beach and down in Del Mar this year.
You are the man.
So, hey, guys, here we are, little transition week. We finally had our first wind in, like, 2 years. So it's going to be kind of interesting because, we've had some wind, but we haven't had a real blast of Arctic wind. And this is what we had the last 2 days here. We had some wind. So it's going to be different. It's going to be interesting. I think maybe, like, on Brandon's behalf and a lot of the guys are going to wait for that sea bass. You might want to start looking around on the coast here for some squid because the water just got all torn apart and everything got flipped over upside down. So pay attention to what's going on the beach here because the missing factor of what's been going on up and down the coast is this squid on the coast. So that's what I'd be looking for this next week, week and a half, 2 weeks, while we wait for the wind to calm down. We got some little areas in between where the ocean's going to be kind of flat. You can go look. I'm going to be at Catalina tomorrow on the big boat so we can see what happened to the water temperature and what happened to the clarity of the water. But I really do think that this is going to change that pattern on the coast, and we're going to start to see that squid show up along the beach. So other than that, we really don't have a lot of fishing to talk about because we had this wind event come through the last couple of days. We did have some fairly good halibut fishing, you know, during the week. And that sculpin fish is still going on. There's some fish to catch at the islands, but really nobody really knows what's going to happen today. There's going to be some boats sticking their nose out, looking around. And tomorrow we'll get a better look at it. And we got another wind event coming on Thursday. So go get your reels fixed. Get everything ready for this sea bass that's going to bite on the coast, guys. And that's my tip of the week, and I'll talk to you next Sunday.
Yeah, that's a good one. And fishdope.com, of course, always good tips. And good tips from Dave Hansen, Mark Wish, and a lot of others. $20 off a new membership to fishdope.com. Just check it out. Fishdope.com, put the code HOOKUPNOW, lowercase, no space, HOOKUPNOW. You get $20 off a new membership to fishdope.com. Dave, how do we find you?
Well, one more thing. Like I said, since Brandon put his whole thing together, if you guys are looking for an opportunity to catch that sea bass of a lifetime, pay attention to what Brandon has to say because the guy is on it. He's got inside information that most of us never even dream that we're going to get. So pay attention to what he's saying today. Watch what Brandon does and get ready to catch some of that coastal sea bass that's kind of been missing out of the equation here the last couple of years.
Yes, indeed. Good
Thanks
word,
for that.
Right? Yeah. He knows his
give
stuff.
Give me a call at 949-374-0786 or look me up on the web at yoursaltwaterguide.com and I'll talk to you guys next Sunday.
All right. Thanks for that, Dave. Appreciate that. Talk to you next Sunday. And that report sponsored in part by Gamakatsu Hooks. You've been looking for that live bait hook that keeps bait alive. It's Japan's leading fish hook. It's Gamakatsu, the hook that drives the point home with an absolute perfect band and ideal barbs. All hooks are not the same. Go with Gamakatsu for infinite success. Check Gamakatsu.com for more information. All right, this week it's the San Diego Sun Road Marina Boat Show, and we have the boat show director, Jim Behan, on the line. Good morning, Jim.
Hey, good morning, Pete. How are you?
You're doing great. Well, tell us about it. The big show coming up on the 25th through the 28th in San Diego at Sun Road Marina.
Absolutely. We're on Harbor Island there, and we've got over 200 boats this year. It's a great boat show. What's really cool about it is you can get on every single boat. They're in water. We have a whole bunch of fishing boats. Kobe is represented. Michelson has the latest and greatest. The new Whale Crafts by South Coast are going to be on display. Boston Whaler with Sun Country. We've got Regulator with Kustler. We've got the newest 35-foot Bertram. Everglades has a great display of center console. So if you're a fisherman, there's a lot of different vehicles you can get on to get out in the water.
No doubt about that. And I know I talked to Pete Giacalone from Kustler Yachts the other day, and Mike Kustler and he are going to be down there with those incredible regulators down there from Kustler. And just a whole bunch of boats, big and small, right, Jim?
Absolutely. You can get on a 20-foot center console, or we've got some fabulous 57-foot Vikings. There's a 68 Little Hokum, which is a fabulous fishing boat. You can get out with Orange Coast Yachts. And you know what? There's Shelter Island Inflatable. So sometimes if you just want to cruise around in the bay, you can get yourself a nice little inflatable. Also, Seaforth Boat Rentals. You can rent a little fishing boat. So you know, you try to cover it. Whatever your budget is, you can get on kayak fishing, or you can get on a big boat to go rent. Or just have fun. But the good thing is you can learn about boats because these guys are there to answer all your questions. And we've got food and some music, and it's just a lively, fun, entertaining afternoon.
It is certainly that. So why don't you give us the details? It starts on Thursday, January 25th, and runs noon to 6, Friday, noon to 6, Saturday, it's 10 to 6, and then Sunday, 10 to 6. Kind of give us details, admission, how do we get there?
Absolutely. On Thursday, Friday, like you said, we're noon to 6. Saturday, Sunday, 10 to 6. It is on Harbor Island in San Diego. There's a huge parking lot right there. I believe parking's $10 for all day. I've got a shuttle that runs the 300 yards from the parking lot to the front of the show. We've got three restaurants right on the end of our island that you can go to. Plus, we have a lot of food vendors that'll be there. The tickets are $13. Kids under 12 are free. Thursday, Friday, the military is and first responders are free. We appreciate what they do. And we've got seminars that are all listed that will be going on every day. We do have our website, SanDiegoSunglobeBoatShow.com. You can find out a list of all the vendors, all the boats, and all the activities. So we welcome everybody to come down. It's a great time, and we appreciate your support, Pete.
Yeah, you bet. You know, there's a really cool restaurant, like you mentioned, called Costera, right next to where the boat show is. Go have lunch at Costera. It's probably the best view in all of San Diego Bay. Good food and cocktails. Then hop on over to the boat show and check out all the great stuff at the boat show. San Diego Sun Road Marina Boat Show this coming Thursday through Sunday right on Harbor Island, right across from the airport in San Diego. Go see it. Lots of good stuff for fishermen. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate you joining us here on Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, thanks so much, Pete. Have fun up there. And, again, I hope to see you next week.
I'll see you there. All right. Thank you very much.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Well, let's jump right back into the phones. They're packed up. Rich and Bradley, you're up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Good morning, Rich.
Hey, good morning. Great stuff this morning. Up on the Central Coast where I live, sometimes bait is just not an option. And I'm hoping maybe Brandon can run us through some of the details of presentation, speed, and cadence, and maybe any other details that he would suggest for when you want to use a lure for catching white sea bass. It'd kind of help us out with that.
Yeah, you know, that's not something that's really incredibly available most of the time, especially up where you're at, because when you get sea bass up there, it's usually on bait, you know, Central Coast.
Not a lot of sea bass up there.
Yeah, but when there's bait and in those La Nina years, like yeah. They get in Monterey Bay and Morro Bay, but it's always a squid deal.
You're not saying there's just like resident populations that are living in the kelp lines and things
right,
like that.
Right. And, you know, I have caught fish at like Halama and Point Conception proper before.
Oh, yeah.
But I can't speak to up there because I'm not familiar with it. Down in this neck of the woods, you know, you get sea bass on kelp lines and that type of stuff, and it's really a random thing. It's a hard thing to go target, and you would fish it just like anything else, you know, with your surface iron, just that kind of medium retrieve, and ditto with like a swim bait, you know, MC swim bait or something like that. So it's not something I can totally speak to in terms of like we're going to go target sea bass today with artificials. In your neck of the woods, if sea bass were to be around, you would know about it because there's going to be squid around and probably light boats and that type of stuff.
Yeah.
Summer and fall. Another thing, too, is like everyone thinks about sea bass as always being this like squid grounds thing. And when I talk to people, they're like, oh, pray for squid around here, bait grounds. And that's great when it's kind of like spring, summer, fall, they're spawning and in kind of deeper water areas. But I've tried a lot and I've never caught a sea bass on a bait grounds along this section of coast, call it from Newport to Del Mar in the wintertime, no matter how much squid there is, never. La Nina, those big squid years, there was no winter fish around, you know what I mean? So it's not really like that this time of year. So it'd be great if some squid showed up in terms of making bait and having a convenient bait play. But that's always been like a May on type thing. Even last year in April, there was more April beach squid around than it's been around in, you know, April wasn't really a big squid month in years past. People tried that stuff all the time. They couldn't catch nothing on it.
Huh. Interesting.
So yeah, the fish has to go along with, like, the other pattern. Yeah. So it's not like you can just drop it somewhere and it's going to bite in February in 68 feet of water or something, you know?
Good information. Hey, thanks a lot for the call this morning.
Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming away. More of your phone calls, more great information. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090.
This is Pete Gray to tell you about one of my favorite places to fish in the world. It's Whaler's Cove Lodge in Angoon, Alaska. For several years now, we've been hosting groups at Whaler's Cove, and this is certainly one trip I do not miss. Each year, the Powers family makes great improvements to the lodge that make this great lodge even better. New rooms, new boats, new fish processing facilities, new outdoor kitchen. The list goes on and on. As for fishing, the calm waters around Whaler's Cove are 100 miles from any large town, so you will enjoy wilderness adventure without the crowds. Whaler's Cove Lodge has some of the best salt and freshwater fishing in Alaska, and there's no need for a bumpy boat ride for hours. You can find productive fishing for salmon, halibut, and rockfish just 10 minutes from the lodge. Here's the deal. The word is out on Whaler's Cove, so you want to go? Book soon. WhalersCoveLodge.com or call 800-423-3123. WhalersCoveLodge.com for the Alaska fishing experience of a lifetime.
Great boats, free parking, and a fully stocked tackle shop. Just a few of the reasons Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top charter boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Eclipse, Apollo, Outer Limits, Pacific Star, Elgato Dos, Alexis, Pride, Privateer, Tribute, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea Watch in San Diego offer the finest half, three-quarter, and full-day trips available. Check out the full-service tackle store at Seaforth Sport Fishing. And it's all run by fishermen for fishermen. 1717 Quivira Road, just off Mission Bay Drive in Mission Bay. Book online at seaforthlanding.com. Fifth Avenue Insurance has a new name. It's Snap Insurance. Still providing anglers and boaters with the best in boat insurance and the lowest rates. The experts at Snap Insurance will make sure your boat and property are covered right. Traveling to Mexico? Snap has you covered. You can even work with your agent to wrap your home and auto with your boat policy to save even more. Call them for advice on your current boat policy or any of your insurance needs. Snap Insurance, 800-527-6617 or snapins.com. That's snapins.com. It's time for Yamaha's The Key to Reliability sales event. For a limited time, purchase a new select eligible 2.5 to 300 horsepower four-stroke outboard and have your choice of either two free years of Yamaha extended service coverage or up to $1,500 in dealer credit. Reliability starts here. Yamaha. Visit your local Yamaha outboards dealer today. Offer ends March 31st, 2018. Subject to change at any time. Other restrictions and conditions apply. See authorized participating Yamaha outboard dealers for details. This promotion cannot be used with any other Yamaha offer.
Here's John Ireland for Rancho Leonero.
Ranch is small, you know. It's very personal, very intimate. I don't think there's anywhere else that you could have the old Baja feel and have all the miles of beachfront, the palapa roofs and the stone walls. There's not a room that you don't have some kind of ocean view. You don't give up any amenities at the ranch. It's just very rustic. You know how when you cook outdoors it tastes better? Well, that's Rancho Leonero. It just tastes better. We have paddle boards. We've got kayaks. We've got snorkeling equipment, of course. We've got 12 super pongas. We have dive trips. We've got over 40 kayaks at the hotel. We've got all accurate equipment, very top of the line. And when the fishing's good, we'll freeze your fish, pack it all up, send it home with you. People love it. They'll come back 5-6 times a year. That's the highest accolade we can get. 1-800-646-2252. 646-BAHA. And RanchoLandAero.com. It's unique.
XERS 1090 AM Rosarito, Baja California.
San Diego's sports leader.
The home of ESPN Radio.
The Mighty 1090.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090.
We're having fun here in the Mighty 1090 studios with Mr. Brandon Hayward from, we should talk Captain Brandon Hayward, from Bite Sport Fishing. Bite Fishing Charters, two boats, fishing all kinds of different stuff up and down. Again, let's talk about it. Sure. How do we go fishing with you?
Yeah, like I said, phone call is good. I can kind of tell you what days are open and see what it is that you want to do and accomplish. If you want to do an open party, the dates are up on my website. I just splashed them right up on the home screen, on the homepage last week, so you can check out. That's on the open party front. Don't do as many open parties as I used to. I still do a lot. That's kind of what puts you over the hump and sure. lets you run your 315th trip for the year or whatever. But it's hard sometimes to get three people that can all go on a Wednesday sure. that all want to do the same thing. Everyone wants to go on a Saturday.
Cool thing is tough. Grab a couple buddies and just do a charter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, I charge more than anyone else in the landscape, even though everyone's rates for everything's going up, because guess what? It's not getting cheaper to live around here, right?
But you deserve it, because you catch fish.
Yeah, and it's a job like anything else, and, you know, a mechanic gets $90 an hour. Everything's expensive these days.
90?
Yeah. So, yeah, 120, yeah. whatever. Yeah, exactly.
Let me get your mechanic's phone number.
Right, yeah. Exactly, exactly. Real briefly, if you kind of do the math on what it costs to own your own boat, the number of times that you're going to use that boat and kind of divide it out and map it out, it becomes a bargain real fast.
It's serious, man.
Yeah, and if you compare what I charge per day versus what it costs to go on a long-range boat or to fly down to PV or do any of that stuff, it's right on par per person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you have really nice boats, those 2320 Parkers, little cabin inside yeah. to stay warm if
top,
you want.
Top of the line electronics, yeah. top of the line bait tanks. I mean, everything, they're yeah. outfitted for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. And yeah. it's just nice having that pilot house and that little V-berth where a guy can lay down or stretch out his back or do whatever. So it's the perfect boat for me. And, you know, like I've said this before as well, but people sometimes go like, oh, hopefully you can get a bigger boat someday. You know, I'm like, I don't want a bigger boat. I want one engine, and I want this boat because it's perfect for what I want to do. I'll put this thing in 9 feet of water if I have to, whatever exactly. it takes.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. You can get a bigger boat. You
right.
know, that's not the boat that fishes right. The way,
right.
you know, what you're doing. Clearly have had amazing success targeting, you know, I mean, that's, you've kind of, you know, cut your teeth on targeting trophy fish. You know, I mean, that's, like you said, almost to a fault where, like, that's starting to be what people expect.
But right.
I mean, For a living, you target, like, people's lifetime trophy, and unfortunately to you, have way too good a success doing it.
Right, and I started when we were in, like, the bowels of, like, arguably some of the worst fishing we've ever seen, 2011, yeah. right? Guys were going bankrupt
true.
And stuff like that. Yeah. So, yeah, no, it's
fun.
It's
you've
fun,
You've done
man.
Well, and both Rick and I fish with you. It's fun fishing with you.
Yeah, no doubt.
It's whether you catch or don't catch, you have a good time.
You want to create an experience for people. You know, everyone says you can't control conditions and if they're going to bite. I want people to have a good time, and I want everyone, if they want some knowledge, I want everyone walking off the boat, like, feeling like they kind of, like, learned something,
yeah.
right?
You whether, mean you don't catch them every day?
No, I get skunked all the time, man.
Yeah,
it's just how it is. And if you're going to go fish for big sea bass and bluefin, I'm very transparent with people. I tell them.
Even
I
have Dave Hansen gets skunked once in a while.
Everyone
Did
does.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
I doubt Dave does, but I'm sure
yeah,
everybody else
even
does.
Even the calico bass don't bite sometimes.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
nothing's easy. If you don't have the conditions, yeah, exactly. nothing's going to work out for you. So I'm super transparent, and, you know, some people call and they have too high of expectations, or they're just expecting certain things, and I say, like, I don't think I can deliver that to you. You know what I mean? What are the chances we're all going to get limits? Like,
yeah. It's just a good
yeah,
you're
yeah,
offering
yeah.
a great experience on
right.
the water.
I'll tell you
right.
the other thing
cool about Brandon.
That always impresses me, too, is, you know, I hear from you and from your customers at the shop, like, oh, I was supposed to go fishing with Brandon this weekend, but he called me and said that conditions weren't right. You could just as easily take that group of people out and, you know, give it the old college try, but you already knew that you weren't going to catch for whatever reason.
I'm well aware that I leave $20,000 a year on the table because I reschedule trips or don't take people when it's poor. But on the flip, maybe you get some of that back because you're being real with them and they come out and it works out.
Yep.
If you reschedule them and they took the day off work and then they come out again and they don't catch nothing, they're not coming back,
yeah.
right? But if they catch something, they're definitely coming back. You might have them for a lifetime.
Exactly.
And if you want to catch a 200-pound bluefin or a 50, you have a goal, like a dare I say, bucket list, or this is something I really want to accomplish, your brain shouldn't be plumbed on, like, I'm going to come out once. You should yeah. say, this is my goal. I'm going to do this year, and I'm going to book two or three trips.
I am on the water.
Yeah.
Truth, man.
Yep.
No doubt.
Yeah, we talked about that with Jim yesterday.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and jump on the phone.
You got it, man. Gary in Long Beach, you're up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Hi, Gary.
Hey, how you doing?
Good morning.
A couple of quick questions. I'm just curious if Brandon ever does anything like troll wise for sea bass, trying to find live bait or any kind of thing like that.
You know, that's a good question. I've never trolled for sea bass. You definitely hear these stories. You know, I was fishing for thresher sharks. I got one on a Betamatic, blah, blah, blah. Guys in San Quintin have done well trolling before, but I think a lot of times when they're trolling, there's just such an incredible biomass of fish. You could be trolling, casting, jigging, and still get them. So it's really not that big of a troll fish, although sea bass are a lot more like a salmon than people give them credit for, and I think a viable way to catch them, especially early season when there's no squid around, would be get out in deep water and troll with downriggers or something through bait balls. I'm sure there's other tactics we don't use.
Bounce balling for halibut.
All that stuff. Yeah. So it's not something that I have done. I've never caught them slow trolling. I've caught them slow trolling with live bait before. But no, it's not, to my mind, a troll fish. That bluefin is 100% a troll fish when you're going to try for it with that yummy flyer and stuff. Sea bass, not so much. But what was your other question?
And another just quick one. Just what's your thoughts on how would you rate the area between, say, the border and Ensenada area as far as coastal sea bass fishing?
I think that stretch held two of the greatest sea bass bites of our lifetime in 2009 and 2010, and it's what kicked off the kind of current cycle.
That's true.
I think a ton of fish moves through there. Peer tagging studies have shown that fish will go from Salsapuedes to Monterey. That's why I kind of made the salmon reference. And I think that's an excellent zone. I also think that zone is very susceptible to cold water and upwellings. And if you don't have the right conditions, you're going to go down there and it's 54 degrees and brown. But with the right conditions, that's a wonderful zone. There's bull kelp, quote, regular kelp, hard bottom, not a lot of pressure. I think it has great potential.
Often overlooked. You know.
Exactly, yeah.
But the one other downside of that area, too, is it is gill-netted.
Gill-netted heavily. And those guys have gotten better and better every year. Yeah. And if you see sea bass in the market, especially this time of year, that's where it came from. They slap those gill nets in the kelp.
Yep.
But, yeah, it's not like California. Sidebar, people think California, there's no gill netting. There's a ton of gill netting. It just has to happen outside of 3 miles, right? Yeah. But a lot of sea bass get gill netted. There's a legit
Huntington
fishery
Flats,
for it.
Right?
Huntington Flats, Ventura Flats.
Yeah.
A mile off Santa Cruz Island is prime territory, and when there's red crab in there, they get a lot. So,
got to join CCA and work toward getting rid of that.
Yeah, from the recreational perspective, it's real easy to think if there was no mesh in the water, how good everything would be, right?
Yep, yeah. For sure. Hey, thanks a lot for the call this morning.
The one thing I just want to add to that whole South Spadies thing is you need to go into that with the same attitude that Brandon was talking about, fishing a kelp line and fishing for three fish for your guys. It's not going to be 2009 every time where you go down and there's a huge squid area and you drop
right.
the anchor and you catch them. But if you could go at that with the same amount of effort, you know, and importing bait and fishing kelp lines that are, you know, getting hit by good current and, you know, good association with structure, things like that. Like if you went in there to target two or three fish on a piece of kelp, you'd probably learn that fishery and have great success. But it's not going to be the same as giant squid nests when people went down there for a week at a time and just anchored on the X
right.
and planned on catching fish.
That what happened in, call it 2009 or really like 2010 to 2014, call it from, you know, the border, just below the border up to San Onofre, San Mateo, that swath, you know, every year it would kind of happen somewhere. I remember in 2010, that Crystal Pier thing, Tim Athens on the Outer Banks said, like, I haven't seen this in 20 years, squid down here. That might not happen ever again or in another 15 years. So if you're kind of sitting on your purse every year hoping that happens to catch sea bass in this kind of southern sector, I don't know, man. You know, that's a cyclical thing. Could it happen again? Will it happen again? Yeah, sure. But that was something really, really, really special.
Yeah.
On the flip, there was nothing offshore. That was the only
that
thing to
him.
Do.
Yeah.
That was all.
That was your August.
Yeah.
Squid nest sea bass. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and jump in the phones, Rick.
You got it, man. How about this time we talk to RJ calling us from Riverside. Hi, RJ. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, good morning, Rick. Good morning, Pete. And Brandon, just wanted to call and thank you guys for that APCO Horizon fleece. It is amazing. I'm out here on the Patriot this morning wearing it, and it is an awesome piece of apparel, man. The fleece lining on the pockets is amazing. Keep my hands warm. Can't thank you guys enough.
Oh, it's waterproof and windproof. That's an awesome.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I wore it the other day. Pouring rain on me. I've been wearing it since it came in the mail, and it's amazing.
That's awesome.
That's great.
I got a question for Brandon. The wife and I are considering booking you. Her question is, how much actual teaching do you do while you're taking us out as well?
I missed that part. How much actual what? Teaching? It could be 100% teaching. It's whatever you want to do on the trip, and there's black and there's white. There's people who say, I just want to catch fish, right? And there's other people that say, I want to learn how to anchor my boat. They want to learn certain things. And I tell them, like, well, we should gear the trip more around that kind of lifetime of knowledge versus a daytime of possibly catching something. So let's do 80% knowledge tip, 20% hardcore rod and reeling, So we can do either. We can do either. I don't do the thing where I go on other people's boats. Other people do that really well. If someone comes on my boat and they come out a few times and they have a boat, I'll jump on and help them out and do it. But that's not really my sauce. Reason being is the times that I did do it before, I just got really aggravated. They don't have enough anchor chain. Why does your anchor weigh 6 pounds? The fish finder's from 1982. And it just, that's not, So what I tell people is, come on my boat. I'll show you how I anchor, how we lead spots, and all that other stuff.
Yeah, cool. And if you want an example, Brian's an excellent teacher, and I've learned a lot from him when I go fishing with him. And a
Thanks.
Good example of that would be a video that we shot together on his boat about the Brandon Bobber. It's on our YouTube channel, Let's Talk Hookup Radio Show, about a new technique that you basically developed using some steelhead techniques from the Northern California on catching sea bass. And that's on our YouTube channel. You can watch Brandon teach you how to use that technique.
That type of stuff. I'm a big fan of kind of blending styles and using things that we've noticed happen before and blending them with the current.
Yeah, for sure. So if you want to access that, go to our website, letstalkhookup.com, top right. You'll see all the links. YouTube is on there, our Facebook and Instagram. Those are kind of our three active social media channels that we utilize on our, and all of it can be accessed right there. And check that video out. It's a cool video.
I get a lot of good feedback about that.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks a lot for the call this morning.
Bueller in La Mirada, you're up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Good morning, Bueller.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I got a question or two regarding fishing rods. I know you mentioned 8 or 9 foot rods. I'm curious about what type of rod rating that you like. Most rods have something like 20 to 50 pound or something like that. And what I've noticed is that I usually will use the lower weight line because most of the rods don't handle the heavier line. So that's one question. And then the other one regarding the rods is fast tip or parabolic, like the old fiberglass ones.
Okay. I wish I could do a Ben Stein voice, like Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
How's Ferris, by the way?
Exactly. Yeah. Save Ferris. Line rating. So let's see. What's an example? Like the classic Southern California rod, like a CalStar 278 Heavy. That rod's rated for 15 to 40, and it's always been a great 20 to 25-pound rod, right? So kind of that middle-of-the-road type thing works good. Some companies went so far as to have the bottom weight, like 20, the top weight 50, and then in brackets like 25, like this is what it's going to fish perfect for. So anywhere in that range. And parabolic versus a stiff backbone, this is rods and reels are an extension of your body, just like a surfboard or a skateboard or a fill in the blank. So what's right for one person isn't right for the other, and it's a tool. So I'm going to pick that tool based on what I want to do. So parabolic and something that bends real good are that classic glass. If I want to cast a surface iron, I would use that. If I want something that absorbs head shakes really good and has some shock with a short top shot, I'm going to go for that type of thing. And if I want straight up like lockdown power, fishing Cabri on a Tony Reyes trip or that super huge sea bass in the kelp or 40 plus pound yellows, and my goal is to stop them for a certain reason, then I'm going to use that rod with, quote, a lot of backbone. So not to be redundant, but rods are a tool. Pick the right tool for the job and kind of have a quiver with a few different things that kind of can get the job done for you.
Great answer.
All right, good one. Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
Sylvia in Santa Barbara, you're up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Hi, Sylvia.
Hello, gentlemen. Hello, Brandon.
Hello.
Hi. I'm wondering, what's your best bait you use for lobster?
Ah, that's a good question. A lot of really hardcore lobster people have their kind of blend and what they like. My answer is whatever I can get for free. So if I can hustle some sardine off a sport boat buddy or get some skipjack or bonita carcass or any of that stuff, great. Salmon head or carcass, great. Fresh mackerel, great. I think it all kind of plays the same. I focus more on thinking about how to lead spots, where the cracks and crevices are, how the current's going, and I think the bait part. What I like about lobster is it's really easy. And it strips a lot of the other stuff that we've been talking about kind of out of the game. So you just got to focus on depth, areas where there's lobsters. And on the bait front, I don't obsess over it. I don't use any scent. If somebody gave me some free scent, I would use it. Like I've got that Poutsky stuff before, or Menhaden oil, try this, you know. I don't see a difference to the point where I'm going to go spend $50 for a jug of juice.
Right.
So I'm just more about, you know, good fresh bait. It is a misnomer, like, make it rotting, you know, like you want it fresh is better.
Right.
Halfway through the night, if it's a long night, I'll definitely put in some fresh bait, or if there's strong current, like every set, put in a little bit of Fresca there. But it all kind of plays the same. Think blood and oil.
There you go. Yeah. Hey, Sylvia, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. I'll try and sneak in one more, Rick.
You got it. How about we sneak in Chuck calling us from Dana Point. Good morning, Chuck. Thanks for hanging in there with us.
Good morning, Chuck.
No, my pleasure, guys. I got a couple things. Now, does your clients usually buy your boats, Brandon? The way you set them up, man, these are like something you buy at the show or something. And another thing is this bucket list fish of these big old bass at the island. I've listened to these guys. I see him throwing a squid on the ground. He was his old white sea bass trick. And he's always hooked up. And he said another one was a double dead squid, like they just mated on the very bottom. Is that a still go or is that old timer stuff?
No, that's standard. That's standard. I mean, there's nothing cooler than the show of the sport boat captain coming out of the wheelhouse, picking up a squid, slamming it on the non squid, pinning it out, and 10 seconds later bending, right? Yeah. That's pretty cool. The thing with squid is when squid spawn, they die, and squid are actually kind of hard for them to catch. So the thought is that a spawned out dead squid works pretty good. So, yeah, that's definitely still the go. You know, two squid on a hook, it depends on who's buying the bait, right?
Okay, now, what about your boat? How do you get your boats rigged the way you want them?
I get it. I mean, I get them pretty straight ahead. Kevin has certain options, like if you want a double
West Coast Marine.
Yeah, if you want double safari windows or a shock seat or a this. But I get them just like pretty much how they come. You know what I mean?
And the thing about Kevin is that he knows Parker's inside and out.
Right.
And he'll tell you, yeah, you need that. No, you don't need that for fishing around here. Yeah, you need that. And
he's super fair and a real guy, you know?
Oh, man.
I'll vouch for you on that. He talked us out of a couple of options that we thought we wanted. He talked us into ones we didn't. And both of those things, you know, he could have just as easily, when we said we wanted this one, just tacked it on. And that guy knows he's just out to make the boat buying experience better. He was awesome. You know?
I don't have a big tower on my boat. In fact, I have no tower on my boat. I might put some sort of little bucket up there, but between the amount of time you have weather, the amount of time you can use it, the fact that I'm kind of a one-man show, and when you put all that weight on the roof and the canopy, you've put a sail on top of your boat, and your fuel economy is going to go way down. It's going to be way more slammy. As a business charter play, and from someone who's like, you know, it's not what you make, it's what you save sometimes, I think that my 1.9 would be 1.7. I think my 2.4 would be 2.0 with a big, huge tower on there.
Right.
So I don't have that on my boat. For that very reason.
You don't need everything.
You don't. If you have an unlimited budget and you do a lot of offshore fishing and you want that kind of look and aesthetic and you feel like you're going to use it, great. But I don't.
Yeah.
Good answer. Hey, when we come back, somebody's going fishing. They're going to go check out that 23 Parker because they got a trip going fishing with Captain Brandon Hayward. We got more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the Mighty 1090.
If you've been searching for that perfect inshore and offshore boat, Defiance is the one. Go far and stay dry is the Defiance slogan. And that is exactly what you get in these overbuilt trailerable offshore boats. Inland Boat Center has the Defiance you are looking for in stock, ready to fish. A huge 2.5-acre indoor showroom and over 300 new and pre-owned boats for everyone, family-owned and operated. Their customer service is the finest available. They take trades of all types and offer amazing financing deals. sales. Check out Inland Boat Center's inventory of Defiance Pilot House boats online, including the Admiral 22 and the San Juan 25. Solid construction with no wood to ever rot. Defiance boats are built to last. It is the peak of the season, and the Defiance boat deals have never been better. Along with great financing, you could be fishing next week in your new boat for much less than you ever thought possible. Inland Boat Center, 681 East Jacinto in Paris. Check the website for the current inventory and more at inlandboatcenter.com.
This is Captain Art Taylor of Searcher Sport Fishing. Come join our seasoned crew led by Captain Aaron Remy and me on a fishing adventure to remember. Our 2018 schedule is available now with multi-day trips to fit your budget. The Searcher has remodeled cabins, an RSW system to preserve your catch, and great meals prepared by our chefs. Don't wait. Book your adventure online now at searchersportfishing.com or call Celia at 619-226-2403. That's 619-226-2403. Visit SearchersportFishing.com.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, CalStar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest it's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the CalStar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend CalStar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
When you put on a pair of Maui Jim sunglasses, the world begins to look different. Colors are more vivid. Contrast is clearer. Details are crisper. Wherever your vision leads you, beauty follows. With polarized lenses that eliminate glare and enhance color, Maui Jim sunglasses won't change the world. They'll change the way you see it. Color. Clarity. Detail. Maui Jim.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. All right, the big winner going fishing with Captain Brandon Hayward, Bite Fishing Charters again. Open party trip Friday or Saturday from Newport to Catalina. The big winner today going to Sylvia in Santa Barbara. Congratulations. You are going to love fishing on those parkers.
You go, girl.
Indeed. Yeah, you're going to have fun going fishing this Friday or Saturday. Your call.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Fun. Now, if somebody else who didn't win it wants to go fishing with you, you have availability.
Yeah. That open party schedule is up on the website, like I said, bitesportfishing.com, or give me a call. Let me know what it is you want to do. Keep in mind that the open party thing, you know, what we have up, that's kind of what we have. You know, there's no other availability. So I can't just kind of like, I want to go fishing on a Wednesday and it's one person. Charter, yes, but it's tough this time of year to bolt together three guys kind of midweek, so. Love to get guys out. The dates are up there. Give me a call. I can kind of tell you more about it. But that's the go.
And, awesome. And fun time. One more time. Phone number.
949-212-0719.
All right. Yeah. Call him. Go fishing with Brandon. You won't be sorry. Brandon,
thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot for your time this morning. And thank you for listening. Thanks to Adam for doing all that he does. The archives will be up in minutes, I am sure, because he's so good at that. On our website, letstalkhookup.com. Podcasts, etc. It'll all be there. And thank you out there, too. We'll be back next Saturday and Sunday. Next Saturday, Captain Tim Ekstrom from the Royal Star will be in the Mighty 1090 studios with Rick and myself. And then next Sunday, Bay Bass Guide Captain Al Clowers will be here. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week right back here on the Mighty 1090.